grace, because today in the town of David, a Savior has been born for you. Mercy, rather than sending us what we deserve, God sent His one and only Son in the flesh. Peace. Now we have peace with God. We can have peace with each other because the battle is done. The war is over. Christ has come. We are forgiven. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours. From God our Father, from the precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate today, and through the Holy Spirit, who tells us all about it in His precious Word. We gather on this Christmas morning rejoicing again in the promises of our Lord and our God. Throughout the season of Advent, we've had the privilege of taking a look at some of those gospel promises of Isaiah. Isaiah has been constantly pointing us forward, getting us to look ahead. And his goal has always been to focus our attention on Christ. Every time a promise was made, as God would add a few more details, as He would repeat something that He had said before, God's people were filled with joy, filled with anticipation, as they were waiting for the arrival of that precious gift. Every one of those promises fills us with excitement too. Every one of those promises fills us with the joy and the anticipation, but we've got another reason to be joyful. We're not just waiting. We've seen the promise fulfilled. Your God kept the promise. All through Advent we've been waiting for this day, and now that day has come. Your God kept the promise. And so we take a look at Isaiah chapter 52. It is the first lesson that we read moments ago. Rejoicing in that promise that has been kept by your God. Hear what He says. Watch what He does. First of all, let's hear what He says. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of a herald who proclaims peace and preaches good news, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God is King. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy because with both eyes they will see it when the Lord returns to Zion. Your God kept the promise. Hear what He says. As we get ready to listen, Isaiah uses a couple of pictures for us. He uses the picture of a herald. When our Lord and our God comes, He often sends a prophet, or He sends an apostle, He sends someone, He sends a herald. You and I maybe don't use that word all that often, but you know what a herald is. A herald is simply a proclaimer. A herald is not coming to discuss. He is not coming to debate. He is coming to proclaim. This is what the Lord says. God sends His herald. Hear what He says. The same is true with a watchman, isn't it? That watchman is posted there on that wall, and his idea and his purpose is to watch and to wait. And if he sees something, he comes running. And he doesn't come with an opinion. He doesn't come with what he thinks the king ought to be doing. He just simply comes to announce. This is what is happening. This is what is taking place. Hear what he says. You and I marvel at what this herald and what this watchman brings to you and to me. How beautiful are those feet, because they're the ones who proclaim peace. The war is over. The battle is done. The peace is taken care of. Peace between us and God. Not a temporary earthly peace. Not a peace that is based on some kind of agreement that we come up with that is just going to be broken when somebody gets tired of it. But a peace that comes from God Himself. He comes with good news. News that is beautiful. News that is glorious. News that is beneficial, news that is useful. All of those things are wrapped up in that word good. And this is the news we get to hear. He comes so that you and I can see salvation. Hear what He has to say. The rescue operation is underway. The Son of God has arrived. the one who was going to come and snatch us from that violent death that we were in, snatch us forcefully out of Satan's grip. Salvation has come. Your King reigns. Jesus reigns. Even as that little baby, He is still the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Not only does He reign, but He returns. Isaiah, you notice, is seeing all of this through the lens of the Babylonian captivity. He's seeing all of this through the lens of God's people being able to actually come back. I mean, what nation has ever done that? Hauled away, completely and totally destroyed, and then comes back again. Only God can do that. And as Isaiah sees God's people leaving that captivity and going back to Zion, he sees God returning. But then he looks past that. And he sees you and me returning, no longer lost in sin, but now able to return to our Lord and to our God. We get to go to the glories of heaven. Hear what he says. Rejoice in what he says. Peace, good news, salvation. It's all yours. Because today, you have a Savior. You've heard that before, right? You've heard before that the Word became flesh. You've heard before, as the angel told Joseph, that he was going to save his people from their sins, so therefore name him Jesus. Excuse me. You've heard before that today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. Has it become routine? We have our Christmas routines, right? We go to one or two Christmas Eve services. Somewhere in there, we open up the presents and we scatter the wrapping paper all over the place. We enjoy our time with family and friends. We come here. Perhaps we are now on our way to Grandma's house or Mom and Dad's place, or everybody's coming to your place. Perhaps you've got things going on last weekend, this weekend. You've got your routines. You've got your schedule all figured out. Has this become just part of the routine? To the point where we forget that when we hear what God says, that we're listening to heralds and watchmen, and we'd kind of like to discuss. We'd sort of like to debate. We take a look at God's holy law, and we see those 10 things as discussion points. And we sit down with our Lord and our God. Well, actually, we sit down with a herald. We sit down with a watchman because we think that's safer than actually sitting down with God Himself. But we basically sit down with God. Just exactly, God, what is an idol? I mean, it's okay, right, if I kind of cling to my earthly stuff. It's okay if I pay you lip service, but I'm actually going to trust the things, my abilities, my thoughts. Maybe I can actually even just trust what I learned all those years ago, and I'm content with that. That's how this works, right, God? I mean, what actually is despising the means of grace? I mean, what really does that mean? Because there is no rule that says you gotta be in church, right? Whoever says that doesn't want to be in church, right? So what exactly is that, this despising of the means of grace? God, what really is all entailed with honoring the authority that is out there, whether that's government or parent? What is all included in that? What rights do I have? What rights do I have to get even, to lash out, to pay back because of something horrible for me? We'd just as soon debate with God, wouldn't we? We do the same thing with His gospel. We sit down with the Lord and we start to discuss with Him what this actually means. And in some ways, it comes out the exact same place. We just use slightly different wording. So, God, you talk about this forgiveness stuff. So, how far can I go? How close to the line can I get? What is it that I can get by with? What can I get away with before you finally just lose your patience and let me have it? After all, I'm forgiven anyway. All of that stems from a misunderstanding of what you and I are about to confess, right, in the Athanasian Creed. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will go into hell. We misunderstand that to mean that somehow this is dependent on me, even though you and I know that it is without faith we cannot please God. Those who are doing good are living in faith. Those who want to praise their Lord and their God, not those who are trying to get something from God. And so we debate, and so we discuss. So here again, with fresh ears, those amazing words, peace. God brings you peace. God shows you how you failed in those 10 commandments, not discussion points, commandments. God shows you how you have turned His gospel into a license to do what you think you want to do. And then He points you to the Word made flesh, and He points you to that Lord and Savior, and He says, see, that's peace. He's the one who took your place and fulfilled everything demanded. He's the one who took your place and paid for every single sin. Good news. Good news that God came. Good news that we're forgiven. Good news that we are set free. Salvation. We've been rescued. Your God kept the promise. Hear what He says. And as you hear what He says, watch what He does. Break out. Shout for joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, because the Lord is comforting His people. He is redeeming Jerusalem. The Lord lays bare His holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation from our God. Watch what He's doing. As lowly as all this looks and as humble as all this appears there in Bethlehem, watch what He is doing. He is comforting. Sin scares us. All those things we just talked about, it's scary to think what we actually deserve from God. And so Jesus comes. And He comforts. And He consoles. And He tells you what He is doing for you. He is redeeming. You and I were kidnapped by sin, so to speak, under its control, having to follow its every whim and beck and call. The only thing that was going to set us free is if a payment would be made, and a price was set. The wages of sin is death. The only thing that sets us free from death is to die. So we rejoice in a birth today, because we know this birth leads to a death. I suppose you could say that with all of us. But this birth leads to sin's death. This birth leads to death's death. For He is the one who redeemed us. He's the one who paid the price. He's the one who sets us free. His holy arm is bared. God is getting ready to roll up His sleeves. With His great power and His great might and with His holiness, He now steps into this world and He's ready to get to work. Get to work taking on sin and death and Satan, getting to work to redeem and save. So not only do we get to hear about salvation, we get to watch salvation. Absolutely amazing, isn't it? To watch God step into history. And as He does that, you and I rejoice that every eye gets to see that salvation. Shout, sing, rejoice, your God kept the promise, and now every eye gets to see what the mighty God is about to do. God enters into His creation. Now He's done that before. He entered His creation at the flood. He dealt with His creation when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. He was in and working with His creation when the Red Sea parted and the walls of Jericho fell down. But this is a little different. God has always been active in His creation, but this time He enters creation. This time He becomes part of His creation. The Creator becomes part of the created. And you and I marvel at that little baby wrapped in the swaddling cloths and to realize that this is the Word that has always been there. Nothing was made without that Word. And now He has a human lineage. He can trace Himself back to David. He can trace Himself back to Adam. He grows, He learns, He studies, He works. God with us. The miracle of the incarnation, God taking on human flesh so that you know your God kept the promise and you know that your God has saved you, redeemed you, justified you, declares you His very own. That's what Christmas is all about. And that's why we love to hear and learn. Your God. Hear what He says. Watch what He does. Your God kept the promise. Your God. All of this is for you. All of this is because of you. All of this is because God wants you. He wants you to hear again what He says. And He wants you again to watch what He is doing. Your God comes to earth so that you can be with your God in the glories of heaven. That's the promise. That's the joy. That's what makes it a merry Christmas. Amen.